Our call to worship, our kind of theme for this morning, the theme verse and the theme for the next week. I think it's really important in times like this to anchor your mind in truth and anchor it in something. And so Psalm 27 is a beautiful antidote to anxiety. So that's going to be our anchor for the next week, and it'll shape this service this morning. But Psalm 27, so for the call of the worship here, Psalm 27 verse 1 and verse 13 and 14. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
Please stand as we sing In Christ Alone.
First prayer block. We're going to pray for those in places that have been affected by the crisis. And as we structure these, I tried to pull out and kind of create these that can be a model to pray for in any types of difficult situation. But I'm going to read from 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 37 through 43. And this is the setting for this is when Solomon was dedicating the temple. And then listen to all the things he says. All right, if this takes place, then you come to me and you pray. If there is famine in the land, if there is pestilence or blight or mildew or locust or caterpillar, if their enemy besieges them in the land at their gates, whatever plague, whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever plea is made by any man or by all the people of Israel, each knowing the affliction of their own heart and stretching out his hands toward this house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place and forgive and act and render to each whose heart you know, according to all his ways. For you only know the hearts of all the children of mankind, that they may fear you all the days that they live in the land that you gave to our fathers. Likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people Israel comes from a far country for your name's sake, for they shall hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, and when they come and pray towards this house here in heaven, your dwelling place, and do according to all that for which they call to you, in order that the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as you do for your people Israel, that they may know that this is the house that I have built and is called by your name. So a couple things that verse can shape and help prompt us as we pray. First, we want to thank God. Solomon prayed this prayer at the opening of the temple. But when Christians pray, we have even greater grounds for confidence than Solomon, because we approach God not through an animal sacrifice, but based on his son's perfect sacrifice. So we know for certain that our Heavenly Father hears us. So take a moment and praise God for that wonderful privilege that he hears us when we pray. In verse 39, there's three things that Solomon asked the Lord to do. He says, hear, forgive, and act. So second, let's pray that the Lord forgives. Natural events often become natural disasters because of human greed and corruption and selfishness. And it's usually the most vulnerable who suffer the consequences. So cry out to God for forgiveness for when this has happened, and pray that he would mercifully spare people from the consequences of human sin. Ask the Lord to act. Pray for the work of disaster relief agencies. Ask God to empower their efforts to help those in need. Pray too for the government seeking to respond or anyone who has to respond to this crisis. Ask God to help them make wise decisions. Verse 41 through 43, we see the extravagant grace of the Lord made known to all the peoples of the earth. And whatever people's religion or lack thereof, disasters often cause them to turn to the divine for help. And although God doesn't owe anyone an answer, his character is gracious and merciful. So pray that those caught up in this disaster would somehow turn to the true God for help, and that in his love, God would answer the pleas of the desperate. Then we pray in verse 43 that his name would be made known throughout the whole earth. Ask God to grow his church in this nation. Pray that in the wake of this disaster, more and more people would come to know God truly, fully and finally revealed in the person of Christ. Almighty and immortal God, giver of life and health, we implore your mercy for your servant, that by your blessing upon him or her and upon those who minister to them with your healing gifts, that they may be restored to health of body and mind according to your gracious will, and may give thanks to you and your holy church through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Now take your song sheet and please stand with us as we sing Before the Throne of God Above.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
our next prayer block, I'll be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And for this time of prayer, we want to pray specifically for our medical professionals and really anyone who will be kind of on the front lines of responding to difficulties or emergencies. But in 2 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves have been comforted by God. For we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, though through Christ we share abundantly in comfort as well. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despised of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many." So first, we want to praise God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies. So think back to an emergency or a period of illness. And you can see there we had a Siri autocorrect that corrected comforted to contorted. So think about a time when God contorted you. That actually might be appropriate how you felt. Think about a time when God comforted you. And thank God that he stands ready to comfort all those who turn to him for help. In verse 4, it says, "He comforts us so that we may be able to comfort others." So let's pray for the Christian doctors, nurses, chaplains, and the patients who will have opportunities to share something of their faith with those who are in trouble. Ask God to help them speak of the only good news that can offer lasting comfort, that Christ can heal our relationship with God so that we can enjoy life to the full forever. Pray by name if you know any, for any Christians you know personally who are suffering right now. Verse 9, Paul says, "We felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God. And however good our health care is, only God is in control of life and death. So pray that both patients and professionals would come to appreciate our own helplessness in the face of death and turn to rely on God who can raise the dead." Verse 10, Paul celebrates that he delivered us from the deadly peril. So God loves to deliver people from danger, including ill health. In his grace, he often works through the skills of doctors and nurses who ask him to use the professionals to save many lives and to restore people to full health. Verse 11, Paul cries out and says, "You must help us by prayer So give thanks for the way that God has answered prayers in the past. And now think, who else can you help by your prayers right now? Almighty God, whose blessed Son, Jesus Christ, went about doing good and healing all manner of sickness and disease among the people, continue in our hospitals his gracious work among us. Console and heal the sick. Grant to the physicians, nurses, and assisting staff wisdom and skill, diligence and patience. Prosper their work, O Lord, and send down your blessing upon all who serve the suffering. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
I invite you to stand and take out your song sheets and turn to All I Have is Christ. may be seated.
For our third time of prayer, we're going to look at Psalm 27, and we're going to have kind of an extended meditation on Psalm 27. It's this powerful and beautiful psalm that really is the Bible's antidote to anxiety. So it's your strategy, your game plan for how you can make war on worry. And so it's the strategy for how you deal with fears and anxieties in any stage, in any situation in your life. And what's amazing, if you have this stable and secure and worked into your heart, you can withstand anything. And the Psalms are such a beautiful, important, potent, powerful place to go for any season, because what they do is they give voice to the full range of human experiences and the full range of human emotions. So they give voice to all of our joys and sorrows, all of our hopes, all of our fears, give voice to times when we're confident and then times when we doubt. They give voice to moments of victory and then seeming defeat. But the way they work is you have to pray them into your heart and then practice them in your life. That's how they change you. They won't change you just by kind of reading them or hearing them or even repeating them. You have to pray them into your heart and then practice them in your life. And as you do that, you enter into the presence of the Lord, and it changes you. So this is help. Psalm 27 is help to deal with fear. And so what I want to do is spend the next, you know, week, 2 weeks, and kind of let this be the central place that your mind goes to interpret and filter what happens in the world. So let's read it. Verse 1. This is the theme. This is the banner. This is where he wants all of us to be, where we can confidently say, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" But then in verse 2, he's going to move, and now he's going to move into probably a little more hypothetical trouble. "When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident." And then why? Where does that confidence come from? Where does the hope? Where does the courage, the strength? Verse 4 through 6, in essence, he kind of moves up into heaven. "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord." And then in verse 7 now, so he's in heaven here and confident and secure and strong, but then now he's coming back down to earth. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, 'Seek my face,' and my heart says to you, 'Your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation.'" And then now he moves into even more difficulty, and he's been abandoned. "For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." And then now, how is he going to respond? "Teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me on the level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have arisen against me, and they breathe out violence. But I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." And so this is David's strategy that he's given us for how we can make war on our worry. And one of the things I find so fascinating is notice how different this is from the common worldly strategies for dealing with worry and anxiety. There's no kind of put your head in the clouds, pretend like everything is just going to be all right.